Welcome to Sad Boys, a podcast about feelings and other things also. I'm Danny Gonzalez.
You're dead wrong, dude. You're going to be so embarrassed.
What?
That mistake now of all times.
Wait. You see the comments at the end, like after we post this, they're going to all tell you how you screwed up, how you messed up.
I don't think I messed
post
it up.
Post this.
I've said the intro of the show post so many times.
The podcast.
What do you mean post it?
We could release this one.
Like a post-it note?
Yeah.
You could, yeah, I thought this was going to, you weren't thinking of posting it? This is just like a practice one? Dude. Or
you sound insane.
This is a fucking influencer title.
Welcome back to the gaslighting podcast. Yeah,
so clout based.
Dude, whatever happened to just being friends and hanging out?
Yeah, I guess so.
Making 50 episodes of the podcast just so we can do one with you and make you confused and then stop the show.
That's our very low rent Nathan Fielder like stuck.
Yeah, experiment.
It's like we brought our friend to do a podcast where we didn't hit record.
And then you just, at the end, are like, oh, that's the big payoff. We had to hire people to get here.
They should like sell just like packs of fake microphones and cameras for guys to hang out where they can like talk about their feelings and stuff, but like with the ruse that it's a podcast, but it's kind of just like a fake fun podcast themed party or something like that.
They can be like a blow up doll version of Jamie from the Joe Rogan Experience.
You ask him to Jamie, look that up.
Yeah. Have you seen the
with the mouth that's like,
there's like a kid's toy that's like an influencer kit where it's like fake cameras.
Is that real?
Yeah.
Oh.
I know.
Yucky.
I don't think it's like a mass produced product. I think it's one of those like bespoke toys, but I remember it went viral because...
It's like I got to add that to our registry.
Yeah, I was going to say like... can you get my kid a vlogging
as a baby? Yeah,
that's the first thing I'm gonna teach them, man. They gotta learn how to vlog.
What I'm calling you, Dan, now because about to be a father,
and that's
so
right.
You've got to graduate from Danny.
I gotta have a grown-up name now.
You gotta have a grown-up name. So
men must do men things. No more baby stuff. No more watching anime cartoons for babies.
First of all, congrats.
Thank you.
I heard you're doing the birthing, which is kind of a
Seahorse style.
They say chivalry's dead, but you said you'd take the load off of Laura's back.
Yeah, that's right. I decided to take that burden for her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because she was kind of stressed about it. I was like, hey, just let me do it.
Let me do it.
An empath.
Yeah.
Wow. Hey, you know what? Let a man handle it.
This is man's work. I push her up the hospital bed. This is a man's job.
So we're hanging out right now.
This is for you.
Laura's in the other room right now. We are at a little house, hanging out.
I thought you were going to say we're at VidCon, but we are at a little house on the prairie.
He doesn't know why we're here, and he's too shy to ask.
We are at a little house.
Just at a damn place.
We're at the little house for the little show that's going on.
Yeah, we're doing a little show at a little house.
Hey, come on now. Welcome to the little house. It's nice. I'm digging it.
You know what? This is the nicest Airbnb I've stayed at in a while.
Yeah.
I've not had good luck with Airbnbs lately.
Really?
Yeah. Did I tell you we were just in Orange County like 2 weeks ago for a wedding and we canceled the Airbnb because it was like...
Oh, no.
Yeah. It was... I think that she was... The host was like not technically allowed to have an Airbnb. It was like an apartment.
Oh, shit.
And, you know,
they were renting.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Like on most leases, it says like you can't have an Airbnb.
Even nowadays, they say specifically like no Airbnb, no VRBO.
Yeah. So we got there and we didn't know that was going to be the situation. And then she, in order to get into the parking garage, she gave us like a code to type in that would open the garage. But then she was like, by the way, this is technically a delivery code. As if, you know, like one that you would give a delivery driver.
Right.
And it expires after one use. So next time you want to come back into it, you'll have to text me and I'll have to send you a code. And I was like, so every time we have to come in and out of the Airbnb, we have to like ask permission basically and be like, can you send us a code?
Yeah.
When I first came down to LA, before moving, myself and the person I was staying with, they had set it up and they're generally good at picking locations, so I wasn't all that involved in it. It's women's work. And while I was busy giving birth.
That's right, yeah.
We were, we arrived, perfectly nice building. It was an apartment complex in Glendale. Okay, this all seems legit. And then they started giving us weird clandestine cloak and dagger things we had to do. Like anytime that we left, because there were cameras in the hallway, we had to try to make it look like we weren't locking the door, because that would, I guess, imply that we have the keys as opposed to a visiting.
Oh.
If we were asked by anyone...
It's like a stealth mission.
Yeah.
If we got asked by anyone who we were or like who we were with, we had to say we were like visiting Maria.
Well, there's also trained snipers that are ready to assassinate you if you make one wrong move.
This radio is how you'll talk to Otacon, who's in the control room and can tell you what's around every corner.
I don't know how to get back in. It's a delivery code, Snake.
Whatever you do, say you're visiting Maria. Yeah. It's not someone who lives here. It's someone from his own life that'll send him into like a flashback.
Yeah. He's like a sleeper. Yeah.
It'll distract him for a little bit. Yeah.
Maria. Flashes you back,
faded back, and
he's on a swing set with Maria, child.
Same clothes, still a landlord, just a smaller version of the landlord.
Real quick, I just wanted to say we just released a Jarvis Johnson Gold inspired Your Premium collection over on jarvis.store. It's a merch drop. We've got a new merch partner. We've been working on it for a very long time, and I'm finally excited for you to see it. We've got sweatshirts, sweatpants. We got shirts, long suit shirts, rugby shirts, lots of cool stuff to check out. I can't wait to see people posting photos in it. So head on over to jarvis.store to check that out. How is pending fatherhood?
Oh, speaking of the like giving birth for someone, I saw like a, I forget if it was a tweet or something, or maybe just someone told me this, but like I saw something that was like, when I was a kid, in order to get me to go to the bathroom, like before road trips and stuff, my dad would convince me that I could pee for him. So the dad would be like, "Hey, I'm busy
someone
like
told
loading
you
up."
This.
Yeah.
Okay.
They were like,
"No, isn't a story from your
no,
life?"
No, this didn't happen to me. But yeah, I guess their dad was like, "Hey, I'm busy like loading up the car or whatever. Can you go pee for me? That way, I like." And it was like it worked every time.
Oh, genius.
Yeah.
You said you're gonna. That's the one thing you prepared to be a father.
Yeah, so that's sort of like a neat life hack to sort of like lie to your kids.
Right.
Yeah.
When your baby refuses to pee, you know how they like to do.
Go, could you go pee for me and like not come back?
At the store to get milk.
Yeah, just like not return.
Yeah, I've got to go to the store and get milk. Can you pee for me, please?
Yeah. Please. Can you close your eyes real quick so I can escape?
But to answer your question, I'm pretty excited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like there's only so much preparing you can do, like, right. Mentally. I don't know.
I feel like there's books people say, but they also say, like, don't read too many.
Yeah, I read one book.
Okay.
And that book kind of said, don't read too many.
Okay, yeah. That may be, though, like, in the best interest of the author is, like, this is the book that you need to read.
Yeah, the only other books I would recommend are these other books that are also written by me. But other than that, don't stress yourself
out
too much,
like,
man.
It'll be like a square peg in a round hole. Like, it won't work. Yeah. Like, the parenting, the baby will, like, speak, like, the wrong language.
There's a lot of nuance to raising a baby, so this book is the only book you need. It may not work. Babies are confusing. I didn't finish it. I couldn't remember. I got distracted. I got really into Final Fantasy XIV. I lost a little time.
I actually wasn't able to finish raising my child. My husband said, "This is man's work."
Man's work.
I had to pack my bags.
And he sent me to a local Starbucks to write a book on parenting.
My writing's cut off at about 3.5. That was when I dipped out, I guess.
But we have a nursery all set up.
Ooh.
We have a crib and a rocking chair.
That's fun.
All that fun stuff. Laura found a, I don't know if this is like standard, but she found a crib mattress that you can breathe through just in case like the baby rolls over on their tummy. And I think babies are generally like, they have the instinct where they don't just like put their mouth directly onto like something they can't breathe, but just in case. So like, she said like all of the videos of it on TikTok and stuff are like dads like just holding it up and breathing through it. So that was like the first thing I did when we got
baby.
Yeah, it's just a bunch of dads just no, but I was that was like the first thing I did when we got it. It's just like put my mouth on it and breathe through it. And it just feels like breathing normally. It's kind of crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's like very porous. Do you have any questions about pending fatherhood?
How'd you do it?
How'd I do it?
Oh, where's that come from?
I still don't know, man.
Oh, yeah, because we kind of have a bet running on how, like, babies are made.
Oh, okay, cool.
We know.
Yeah, hopefully I can settle that.
No, we obviously know.
Someday when I find out.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, just let us know. I was hoping you would know by now.
Yeah, when we went to the doctor, she said something about how the baby was made, but it sounded too weird and
like no way that's
kind of gross and icky. So I think she was just kidding.
You had to leave to pee for her.
She explained it to Laura while you were peeing for her.
Right.
When you did like the tactical stroller stuff, mm-hmm. was that planned?
No.
Okay.
Okay. Oh. Yeah, that's the weirdest thing. Okay, so I got a lot of comments when that video came out.
Right.
That were people being like, I thought this video was going to be a pregnancy announcement when I saw like the title and thumbnail. I thought this is going to be like tied into it. And then, so like, I think some people were kind of suspecting for a while that that video like had something to do with having a baby.
Right.
But no, I started making that video before we found out Laura was pregnant, but I found out while making that video.
Whoa.
Yeah. That's when we found out Laura's pregnant. I was like, I was in some, I forget like exactly where in the process. but it's funny because I think I said somewhere in that video like, oh, this is giving me baby fever or something. Yeah. I'm walking around with this stroller. But I think like when I filmed that, I think that was probably like the day after I found out that Laura was pregnant. So
you should make a video about how we both strike it rich and win the lottery. Because then maybe it'll happen during the production of the video.
Yeah, that's right.
But I don't want to like pay for the ticket and shit. So
you don't even want to pay for a lottery? They're like a dollar.
I haven't won it yet. I'm throwing cash around.
Will you pay me back once you win?
Of course.
You didn't sound too sure.
It sounded like a lie.
I will.
Okay, it sounds like you're lying too. Okay.
Of course.
You guys are lying to me.
Yeah.
Wait, I have a crazy lottery story. Can I tell you guys the story? I've been actually waiting to be on a podcast because I want to tell this story.
Oh, this is great.
Okay. Did I tell you guys we just moved like a few months ago? So we were in the process of selling our house and we got an offer that we accepted that was like list price, a cash offer. Okay. And we were like, oh, that's great. So we accepted the offer and we like went under contract with this person. And I've told you guys this before, but like our neighbors in that neighborhood were all like older and retired age.
Right. Yeah.
So I guess we just like happened. We accidentally moved into a retirement neighborhood kind of a few years ago when we bought that house because it was all like mostly one story houses or like the master was always on the first floor. So it was just like, I guess just all old people like living in that kind of house. And we didn't realize it until we moved in. But anyway, all our neighbors are like old and they love to garden and landscape. So I was like, oh, I hope whoever just we accepted their offer. I hope that they'll get along with our neighbors.
Right.
So I Googled the person's name and the contract and I couldn't find her on social media. She wasn't on Facebook or anything, but an article came up and I'm not going to say their names, but an article came up about her husband, who was a police officer in like a surrounding Chicago suburb.
Yeah.
And the article was about how he had stolen like $70,000 from the police department.
Right.
Defunding the police, I guess, in a way.
Yeah, he kind of took it under his own. under his own wing.
Yeah, but
actions,
it wasn't just the police department. It was like a charity that the police department was running.
Oh.
So I was like, oh my God, these people are like pieces of shit. And they're going to move into my neighborhood with like a bunch of my like sweet old neighbors.
Right.
But so it wasn't just that. The rest of the article was like, his bail is set for like $200,000 or something. But luckily his wife, who is the name that I Googled, can pay for it because she just won the Illinois lottery for $2 million.
Huh, that's not that much money. She won the lottery?
Well, for being such big pieces of shit, that's a lot of money,
I think.
But
then also the lottery, at least here, do you have the lottery in the UK?
Yeah, weirdly, despite the fact that gambling is like so regular.
Yeah, so because, here there's like...
We have the Euro Millions, that's like...
Interesting. But yeah, it's like they're scaling degrees of winning the lottery.
Yeah. Because
there's like the biggest one where you win like $1 billion,
yeah,
and then like kind of all the way to like $15, you know, or another ticket for free or something like that. So
that could be how I get mine.
Yeah, Danny, you'd have to win big enough to get another ticket for free.
Yeah,
maybe. But you have to pay for the first ticket also.
Do you think that could be like an infinite money loop if you just keep using the money to buy more tickets,
right?
And then you just keep winning.
Yeah, technically it's possible.
I guess
that's right.
It's not so much an infinite money loop in that basically you just spent $1 forever.
Yeah, like you have to win at least another ticket. But then you would also have to have the opportunity to win more. Because if you just win another ticket over and over, then that's kind of like a That's kind of like you've been sentenced to a never-ending loop of playing the lottery.
Your Sunday nights are just like busy.
Yeah, it's not an infinite money loop. It's like an infinite work loop. Yeah.
Work loop of buying lottery tickets.
A best case scenario, you end with the dollar that you started the loop with.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Okay, so there's an end to this story that's even crazier. Okay.
Okay.
So now this
person
is,
stole $70,000 from a charity.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. And so
his wife won the lottery, just like happened to at the same time that he was stealing money. And it's like, I guess he didn't need to steal all that money because his wife just won the lottery, you know? And he should have just waited.
Sometimes it's for the thrill.
I guess, well, okay.
Oh, no.
Speaking of for the thrill. Okay, so they offered us cash offer. And so after I found out they won the lottery, I was like, no wonder they offered us a cash offer on the house. That makes sense. But then they just like ghosted us after we signed the contract. We were waiting for them to put their like earnest money deposit.
Yeah.
And they never did. And eventually they just like, we had to like cancel that offer and eventually someone else like bought the house.
Oh.
But when our realtor was talking to like the new person's realtor who actually bought the house, that realtor was like, so why did the previous offer fall through? Because he was like worried there's something wrong with the house or something.
Right.
And our realtor started to explain to them what happened. He was like, oh, I don't know. They like had some kind of family emergency. And the other realtor was like, was it an all cash offer? And he was like, yeah. I forget what else. He was like, did they have to go out of state for like a family emergency or something? And he was like, yeah. And then he was like, was it? And then he said the person's name.
Yo.
And he was like, yes. And he was like, they have done this 72 times.
What?
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
In the Illinois like area. They're like well known for doing this for the thrill, apparently, for no other reason.
Because what do you get? Like
you couldn't possibly.
They just want someone to be like, okay, you could buy our house, and they're like, yes, and then they're like, that's it.
Other thrill. There's a lot of thrilling stuff you can do with $2 million. I feel like do one of those thrilling things. Buy a jet ski.
I don't know, dude. I think these people are just kind of like
weird,
just a little wacky. I don't know.
It's like Ocean's 11. They have enough money, but they're career criminals. You know?
Yeah, they just have to do one last job, so to speak. But the job is like making it harder for me to sell my house.
They have to bother one last Chicago.
They're caught in a loop where they keep winning the lottery, but they have to put a cash. It's for a new ticket and a cash offer on a house.
Yeah,
for a new contract design. Yeah, and they literally just diss it. Like not a word from them.
I think they disappeared for like a week and then texted their real estate agent that they had a family emergency. And so then that made it back to us and they said they couldn't continue with the house. So I'm assuming that that's what they do every time.
I wonder if they're using the same real estate agent. And if you scroll up in their text history, like,
come on.
Yeah, another family emergency.
And like, this real estate agent is just none the wiser. They just
71 other times. Yeah. I'm so sorry.
How many real estate agencies could be available in the local Illinois
area? Right.
Yeah, that's a good point. No, I told another family member that and they were like, what if the person who actually did buy your house like hired those people to try to get the price on your house down? Because we actually did have to like lower the price after we put it back on the market because it was kind of like, you know, we had it off the market for so long while we were waiting for them to do it. I don't think that's true. But
yeah. I wonder.
They've done it 71 times before. I think they could do it in 70 seconds.
Because like if you do that with like eBay sales, it's like technically, I don't know if it's illegal or if it's just against their terms of service, but I think there's got to be some sort of fraud that's happening there, right?
It definitely does feel like some kind of fraud.
Yeah.
That is something member of my family was banned from eBay for doing.
For fraud?
Ooh. They were, their entire job at one point was they were, you know, reselling.
Is this Gary
Vee?
Are you related to Gary Vee?
Come on, man.
Oh, sorry.
Dude.
He's one of V's friends.
Dude, he's going to DM me along with every basketballer.
Hoyt
Ball
as well or whatever. He.
To me, he said, keep it pushing, JJ.
Oh, yeah.
Keep it moving.
I think that
it was. Yeah. Keep it moving sounds like I'm in his way.
He's like, keep it moving, JJ.
Come on, JJ.
Yeah, well, I'm walking here, JJ.
Keep it pushing would be more confusing. keep it pushing, JJ. Yeah,
that's what Laura's going to be saying to me in the delivery room while I'm doing the man's job.
Keep on. Come on.
Yeah, you do
keep
like
pushing,
some sort
Dan.
Of like Dan. Yeah, it starts with keep it pushing Danny, and then for a brief moment, it's like
I
keep
become
it
Dan.
Pushing Dan.
That's how I'll know I've made it.
Yeah, that's how you know you became a boy. A man.
Each third the baby gets out, you lose one letter.
Yeah. Keep it coming.
Dan. Then I'm just D by the end of it.
Big dog.
Whoa.
Big dog D.
The dog.
How many VidCons have you been to?
I think like 7.
Yeah.
Well, I guess for like, couple except years, for the 2 years the or whatever, two or three years that COVID was ravaging the world. But yeah, so I think the first one I went to was probably like 2015. So like 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, and then 22 and 23.
Yeah, because my first one was 2017. So then this is my fifth one.
Yeah, that's crazy. It doesn't feel like we've been to that many, right? Yeah.
It's also just kind of Groundhog Day a little bit because it's like now we're getting to that point where I have such vivid memories of like the last year that we were at VidCon. And so it's all starting to go
into a high school reunion every year.
Yeah, it's odd. But I feel like I have a healthier relationship with it now than I did when I first came because I felt like I needed to be doing everything. And
I feel
everywhere.
A lot less anxious this time around. There was where you guys were doing, you had a panel and you were doing a meet and greet, right? This morning, something along those lines.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I woke up a little later. We were hanging here with a few of the other people, Jakey, Billy, Chrissy. And we were all thinking about heading over to go see what we can get for free from the hotel. But we were texting about doing the show after you guys got back. And honestly, it was a godsend. Like just sitting at home for a little while, recouping my mental losses a little bit, eating another donut unwisely.
Yeah.
It's just like, whereas there was a point in time, this is, I think, my first VidCon where I'm not here, at least in a little bit of a work capacity.
Yeah.
Like where I should be doing something or I should be going to X or Y panel.
Right.
And you guys ever go on vacation to a new place or like a completely new environment and you're so anxious to do all of the tourist things you need to do?
Oh, yeah.
And then you go back to that or a similar place and you're like, it's all jazz, baby. I'll take a day at home.
Yeah. I've seen all there is to see, man.
I think that's what it is. Like, we've kind of been around the block, so it's less. I think about Dipper when I take him on walks, and he, like, wants to sniff and smell everything.
Yeah.
And eventually he's like, I know what this thing smells like.
Yeah.
You know? The lamppost, yeah.
Yeah. And he's like, still here. It might smell
that's
a little bit.
That's how I feel at VidCon, too. I'm like, I already know how this place smells. Yeah. I know all this.
I know him.
I don't need to say hi to him. I know how he smells, man.
His hand, and, but he goes out to shake it.
Yeah. Yeah,
we had a panel yesterday. We had a panel yesterday. I don't know if it was filmed or anything like that, but
well, it was live streamed for people because you can. I guess there's like a new tier of VidCon tickets where you can just like watch the streams or everything.
Right.
So I saw someone was live streaming it. So maybe it'll be posted at some point.
Sure, but yeah, it was like YouTube. It was like Danny, Curtis, Chad, Eddie.
Drew
moderating it. Drew was moderating it. And then who else? It was me is the last guy.
That's right.
Yeah. Last and least.
That was in order of quality. And I won't say which way.
In order of quality in which way. Who knows?
Eddie also had a panel earlier that day where they mistakenly just big letters right above him, photo of him along with the other panelists. Eddie Burbank.
That makes him sound like he's like the mayor of Burbank or something. Or like he's like the most eligible bachelor in Burbank or something like that.
Or like a high-powered lawyer or something.
Yeah.
They call me, you need my help with Eddie Burbank.
I'm Eddie Burbank. Call 1-800. Yeah, have you or a relative been affected by mesothelioma or something?
Or it's one of those, I don't know if you've seen, there's a lot of like billboards and posters, especially in downtown LA, where the lawyer posters are themed to look like posters for famous movies.
Oh, really? Oh. No, I haven't seen that.
There's one really near my place that just says Law Land.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
And then a Better Call Saul theming is a really common one, which is not a lawyer I think I would want to be associated with.
No, definitely
I
not.
Will lie for you.
Yeah. Is it just like Better Call and then it's his like actual name? Like,
Better Call Dave. If you got hit by an Uber.
Better Call Dave.
Speaking of 1-800 numbers, did you... You saw the shirt I was wearing yesterday that said, like, call 1-800-GRANDMA. Yeah. So when we were at the party yesterday, I think, like, Drew or Eddie actually called the number, and it's a sex hotline.
Hell yeah, dude.
I don't know if the numbers that, like, grandma corresponds to maybe, like, spells something else out, like,
it wasn't
like grandma or something.
Yeah.
It wasn't grandma themed.
No, it just said, like, there's 5, like, hot ladies ready to talk to you, and they're going to talk to you.
That sounds like an interview question for a tech company. In fact, it is an interview question for a tech company. I was asked by Facebook many years ago to like figure out all the permutations of what was it? It was something like figure out all the permutations that you can dial with a phone number or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
And so you could easily write a program to figure out what other letters, but I won't do it.
Yeah, someone in the comments leave, like, what else grandma, like, those corresponding numbers could spell. I bet it's Hot Babe.
Yeah, I think Hot Babe's good, because it's the right number of letters.
Yeah, but I guess, actually, wait.
G has H.
R and O are not close enough together on the alphabet.
Yeah. Six and seven. Damn it. What's the point, man? I'm sorry, I'm in, like, a crazy mood.
Yeah, you're a little off today, man.
I just found out about the wage gap.
Oh, no.
I think...
No!
You said that yesterday at breakfast.
I found out about it like a couple years ago. And I'm still
upset about it.
Yeah.
I want all the people out there affected by it to just know that, like, you know, Wakanda
forever. God.
I don't really know if Wakanda forever is really related.
I actually heard that it's worse there. The wage gap. It's a lot worse there.
You familiar with Ruth Kanda Forever?
What?
I showed this to a friend, BB, and Jarvis the other day. I'll just have you read it. It is my favorite tweet ever.
There is a town in Illinois called Wakanda, but it's spelled different. It's like Wakanda, but it is, I mean, it's like, if most people just pronounce it Wakanda.
Were they like excited about Black Panther? Were they like, what the heck?
That's actually where Mason Ramsey's from.
No.
Yeah, it's what? it's like a very small, like, rural place, I think. I've never been
Wakanda.
There. Yeah. But it's nothing like the movies. I don't know if they were excited when Black Panther came out, really.
Take a little look at this tweet. Read it out for the class.
You want me to read it?
Mm.
Just told my 10-year-old daughter about Ruth Bader Ginsburg. She had tears in her eyes, and then she did the Wakanda pose and said, Ruth Kanda Forever, which is the sort of pop culture crossover that I can celebrate.
Yeah.
It is somehow completely real.
What?
I thought it was super parody. I think it is the tweet that kind of started that meme.
No.
It's so clearly a lie.
Which is the sort of pop culture crossover I can celebrate.
Yeah. That wins the internet today.
Love that they're
they
like,
just broke
most
the internet.
Pop culture most pop culture collabs, crossovers, not into
it. Thumbs down.
Yeah, thumbs
also,
down.
What did she say about Ruth Bader Ginsburg?
To make a child go...
Ruth Kanda Forever.
Who hadn't heard of her?
Yeah. Also, like, when people say something like, oh, that's like the pop culture crossover I can get behind, they're talking about something that like actually happened between like worlds. Like it's like, you know, two people actually collaborating. But like they, like Ruth Bader Ginsburg was not in Black Panther or something.
The
it's like her 10-year-old daughter made it up.
It's just only in the canon of the child.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just had a dream, and that's the kind of thing I can
do. Yeah.
She's like, finally, I've been waiting for them to do this. And it's like, they didn't.
They didn't do it.
Hashtag.
Dude, I can get behind this. Yeah, there's like a GoFundMe to make it happen.
Yeah. Make Ruth Kanda happen, please.
The world is waiting.
Ruth Kanda forever, dude. Damn. Ripping pieces. Up there with Liz. Big, not Warren.
Yeah, or Truss.
Don't worry.
The queen?
Yeah. My queen.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that,
Liz
by
Truss.
The way.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry that
no worries.
For your loss.
I wasn't even involved.
You weren't even involved, like, in her demise?
Yeah.
I was fucking, I was just doing something else.
I don't know why. Now,
was busy.
I was somewhere else that day.
Yeah. I was at the grocery store with like a baseball cap, and I didn't look exactly like me, but I looked like somebody you could find on Craigslist that looks
okay.
really
Do
similar.
You think she died at a grocery store?
Come on.
No, but he's saying he had an alibi.
I'm saying that I was elsewhere at the time. He was. I was. Yeah.
The guy that I hired
to myself.
That would be crazy if, like, we all just kind of assume she died from, like, you know, natural causes or old age. But then, like, what if they came out with, like, an autopsy tomorrow that was, like, she was shot.
Yeah. She was beheaded.
Yeah, she actually failed to put in the one-time delivery code. And one of the snipers got her at an Airbnb.
Yeah. She forgot the secret word, Maria.
Oh, no.
Turns out Diana didn't die. She returned with a katana.
She's back.
She was
Maria.
Training in private. Yeah, she was like on a mountain somewhere training.
The League of
Assassins. Studying the blade.
Studying the way of the blade. Oh my
you
God.
You sure you're ready? Just go stabs an old lady. Training for 20 years.
Yeah. She was like, oh, that wasn't hard at all. I didn't need to train for that.
She's also much older now.
Yeah. Yeah. If only you think I'm weaker than I was when I started training. That's like 30 years ago.
Yeah, I probably should have called it quits a few decades back. Dude.
Queen Dandered forever. Queen
Danda. Yeah, Lizonda forever.
She lives on. She lives on. She lives on in all of our hearts.
Trust Liz on in my heart. Dude, what the fuck is up?
What else do you guys want to talk about?
I was going to ask you, Danny, what do you do?
Yeah, so I'm a software engineer.
Oh, okay.
At the Grove.
Oh, like the
mall?
Like the mall in LA?
Yeah, I just work on their software and stuff.
Oh, nice. I didn't know they really had software.
Automatic doors, I guess.
Yeah, they have a computer like in the they have a computer.
The big one.
So yeah. I just sort of work on that.
Doesn't sound like software engineering, so to speak.
I think most people actually have used a computer.
Yeah, that's kind of just like working on a computer. Like,
well, I get it up and running and stuff.
He lives in Illinois.
Like every day?
I get it up and running. It's a crank start.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So I just sort of work on the computer at the...
at the Grove.
What did I say? The Grove.
What did I say?
See, because that makes me think you really don't do it. Bad commute, I feel like.
I'd do it. Yeah, it's fulfilling work, and it's man's work, and someone's got to do it.
It's man's work, and someone's got to do it. A man, me.
At a mall. It's a man's mall.
And someone's got to crank that computer. Got to crank that soldier boy. I did actually want to ask, like, so obviously, like, there's work.
Mm-hmm.
And then I know you're into running. You just ran a marathon.
Yeah.
Congrats on that.
Thank you, man.
How long did you train for that? Like, I guess an official.
Our marathon was in October of last year, and the training program for that was, I think, like 16 weeks, but that was from having run a half marathon already. So it was like half marathon to marathon training program. And then I think the half marathon one was like 12 weeks or something like that. So whatever that adds up to, it's probably the total.
Eight.
That's like 28 weeks. That's like more than half a year.
Yeah. But that wasn't like from nothing, because we had already run like, we could probably run like 5 miles maybe before we started.
Yeah.
How long is a full marathon?
26.2.
26.2. That 0.2 seems a bit arbitrary, huh?
You're the story.
I think it's
of
like 41 kilometers.
Oh, of course.
Wait, but no, the distances are, it is arbitrary because it's from.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. A marathon is a marathon because in like ancient Greece, there was like some battle where there was like a Paul Revere type of situation where a guy had to run from one place to a marathon Greece, and it was 26 miles. And when he got there, he died.
It was 26.2. But yeah,
he's like just learned this information. Yeah. And now
I'm a big guy for trivia.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It just felt like you were correcting me.
Those 0.2 must feel weird. It's like, I've done the marathon, please.
Yeah.
My feet hurt so much.
No, by then, it was kind of weird. Like, they had signs for every mile marker. But then I think when you got to like 25 or 26 or whatever, they stopped showing miles. And then they showed how many meters you had to go or something like that. And so it's like, when I don't even know how many meters are in like whatever. So I was like, okay, this doesn't mean anything to me, but I guess I'm close enough that they like changed the units of measurement.
Yeah. How many centimeters until you reach
it's
how
like
many meters?
What is it called? Like the halting problem where you just like keep having the distance. There's that like, oh fuck. It's like if you have a door that's like, I don't know, at that wall, and you say, like, go half the distance to the door, then you'd go halfway, and then you say, go half the distance to the door.
Right. Oh, yeah, but you never make
actually
it.
Approach
yeah.
the door.
But you'll get so close.
Yeah, so that's you. It's like, it just keeps, the units keep getting smaller and smaller.
That's a half marathon. Yeah. That's why you can never finish a half marathon.
Yeah,
that's
you
right.
You keep cutting it in half until eventually.
Oh, that's so true.
Oh, oops, I did a full marathon by accident.
Yeah.
Shit.
That's fun.
Would you do it again?
A full marathon?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I did do another half marathon in May.
Yeah, we saw you for birthday.
Oh yeah, that
birthday
was right
time.
Before
you
I
like
did.
Left to go do it.
Yeah,
yeah. Because you were saying you were like partying with us for the weekend, and then you were like, man, I shouldn't have gone so hard on the partying.
Yeah,
that
kind of screwed me over. For
Dan the animal, the you were calling yourself.
But
yeah.
Hey,
yeah,
we had a good time.
I was going buck wild that weekend.
We had a buck time. We told people
you had itchy
about
feet,
the.
You that?
Yeah, I do.
You just kept every day I'd see you, you'd come down and go like, feet are itchy.
Yeah,
like, yeah. The first day we saw you, you were like, anybody else's feet get itchy here? Yeah,
okay,
no?
So for those
Canada.
Those who weren't there, every
for
time
you weren't at Curtis's
yeah.
Town,
yeah. every time I go to Curtis and Jenna's house, my feet get so itchy. I don't know what it is. And they use very neutral, because I thought maybe it was like the sheets or something,
right,
with the detergent, but they use very like neutral detergent, and neither their Dean house is very Jacob. Clean. It's not like there's like little critters or anything, yeah, like little bed bugs or.
And nobody else that stayed there is reported having
no,
itchy
nobody
feet,
else so has itchy feet.
No.
Do you ever have itchy feet in other settings?
No. It's such an unusual.
Tell the truth.
Yeah.
Don't lie.
Sounds like you better call Dave.
Yeah, quite frankly.
You might be entitled to compensation.
I got
to
sue them. And yeah, I'd be curious to know what anybody thinks in the comments. But yeah, so the whole weekend I was kind of just like.
Medical marvels. We like ask them what's up.
You do a sleep study and see if you're itching your feet in your sleep.
Ow, 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 ow. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, no, because. Wait. I don't know, man.
That went away by the time I ran the half marathon, luckily.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, my feet didn't itch anymore. The second I left their house, it was like a curse was lifted and my feet didn't itch anymore.
Interesting.
And I felt like a sense of peace and calm.
Right,
it's possible that Curtis was tickling your little feet.
Tickling my feet
I was thinking maybe they had like little feathers at the end of the bed. Oh. They were just like,
did you hear giggling?
I did wake up. I did wake up giggling several times, but I just attributed that to like a goofy dream that I couldn't remember.
Right. Yeah, sure. I think it might have been the feathers at the end of the bed.
Sure. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. I guess so.
Did you hear scurrying of Curtis's little feet as he ran away?
Well, the thing about staying with Curtis and Jenna is you kind of always just hear scurrying because I think that they're kind of restless sleepers, and so I heard it like above and in the rafters and in the ducts and stuff because I think they just kind of scurry around.
Yeah. They're like Peter Pettigrew. They can turn into little
rats,
mice.
And they're nocturnal. So,
try going into their apartment because it's a perfectly odd shape at the skirting board of a wall.
Yeah,
you try and catch them with a hammer, and they're able to run under there really quick.
Yeah,
that's like a whole Tom and Jerry situation. You're
it's real tommed.
Yeah, they really tommed me.
We told people about the limo, the limo situation.
Oh yeah.
Oh yes.
That was a good time.
That was fun.
You got some nice photos.
You know what? It was kind of like annoying in the moment, but it's a good story and I look back on it fondly.
Yeah, I think it was like the right amount of inconvenience where if like it had stretched out for any longer, it probably would have been very annoying.
It was a Austin Powers impersonated style experience.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Did you tell that on the podcast?
We did, yeah.
We even exposed his great joke, dude.
Oh,
stole his bit. You want to sit on my Facebook?
Dude, you're gonna ruin his business. Well, no one's gonna hire
you're
him anymore.
Ruin a whole generation.
Good
joke. Oh, the question about what do you do though was actually, are you getting up to anything? Like, I feel like you've probably got so much on your plate right now with the kid coming, and just working and things like that. Mm-hmm. But is there like, how do you like to relax?
Well,
other than watching Ninja Kids.
Okay, shit. Other than watching my favorite YouTube channel, Ninja Kids. In terms of TV, Laura and I watch a lot of Survivor.
Oh, yeah.
But we recently ran out of seasons to watch.
Right.
Because we watched all of them.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's how that'll happen. Yeah.
Yeah. So we got to wait for them to make another one.
Right.
But wait, we just found a show called Alone. Have you guys ever watched Alone?
No. Someone brought this up to me recently, but no.
It's crazy. So it's kind of like Survivor, but if they took all the like fun parts out of it.
Oh, yeah. No Jeff Probst.
Okay.
No. Yeah, they took all like the actual competitive like game parts out of it.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's actually more like Man vs. Wild, but if it was a game or like a competition.
Like not Bear. It's like, was that Bear Grylls?
Bear Grylls, yeah.
Yeah, so instead of like a professional survivalist, it's just like a bunch of like amateurs?
Well, they are all supposedly survival experts, but they are, so they send 10 of them out into the wild, but not together.
Mm.
They're all in like their own plot of land, like miles away from everyone else, so they couldn't. And
do they come across each other?
No. Oh. No, they never come across each other. They're far enough apart. They're in like the one we watched, they were in British Columbia in like grizzly bear country.
Ew.
And it just seemed like it was such a vast expanse of land that like they could have walked for like a day and not seen any of them. And they don't know who is still like in. So it's whoever's left at the end wins like 500 grand.
Wow.
But they don't know
That's
who is still
crazy.
In. They started the season in the fall, and by the time it was over, it was in the winter. And I think, I forget how many days they were there, but they said like the most anyone's ever lasted on that show is like 115 days or something like that.
That's so I'm good. Crazy.
I'm fine.
Yeah.
I'll do it at home.
Isn't that kind of fucked up that it's like Survivor seems a lot easier than that? And you win $1 million if you win right. Survivor.
They're still trying to get a loan off the ground. They're like, we don't have like the whole institution built out.
They need a loan for a loan.
Hey,
come on, man.
That's my show. It's a loan, but it's spelled A space L-O-A-N.
I take out a loan of $1 to buy a lottery ticket.
Yeah, it's whoever can last the longest evading debt collectors.
You guys watch Naked and Afraid?
Yeah, that was the first thing I thought of when you said a loan.
I've watched a bit of that, yeah. I used to be super into Bear Grylls when I was in like high school. I used to watch a lot of that show.
Yeah.
And I watched a little bit of Naked and Afraid. Yeah.
Now you've got to watch out here. To get past this crack, we'll have to drink my piss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was always doing that, man.
Yeah.
I'm sleepy and I'm running out of piss, so to make more piss, I'm going to drink my piss.
I made a Vine, like, basically with that joke one time where it was like, for no reason, he basically started drinking his piss. And then I got tagged in a bunch of other Vine, like, that was like a super common joke on Vine, I guess. Like, a million other people had already made that joke, and I was like, man, that guy really likes to drink piss, dude.
He is out of control.
Yeah. He pretty much imparted his wisdom in one
he's up there.
Particular way.
I would go so far to say top 10 piss. Like, he's probably had more piss than almost anyone.
So, is that, like, a real thing? Because I've heard that, like, drinking your piss doesn't really do anything. Or I've heard it dehydrates you, and I've heard like all these other things. But if Bear Grylls is doing it so much,
right? What if he just, maybe he just likes the taste.
He's
kind of just.
I'm at home.
You need to get a craving for like a Gatorade or something like that. You're like, well,
I would go home. I think if I was like in the desert and I was gonna die, I would go home.
You just go home.
That's I've got like a tap.
Just call an Uber or something.
Yeah. We get a bunch of survive. We make a show called Call an Uber and Go Home.
Yeah.
It's like Uber we put home. A bunch of people in the middle of nowhere and they just gotta call an Uber and go home. And
dash into the house, panicked. Go over to the tap. It's LA tap. What do I see? Like, oh, let me just get the filter.
Let me get the filter. Yeah.
Lips cracked. Just like.
Oh, dude, I'm so thirsty.
Then you like Uber Eats your dinner.
I'm so hungry, but
and you're like, I need to get some sustenance.
Frozen? Just survive at home.
That's kind of what my life is.
It's just called depressed.
Dude, that would actually be kind of a crazy idea for a show where it's like, it is kind of like outlast the other contestants, but it's just like, it just like kind of follows you for your whole life. So it's just like, out of these 10 people we pick at random, who actually lives
Linda
the longest?
Linda lived to 110 years old.
So the show doesn't come out for like 80 years.
Yeah.
Isn't it funny how much variance there is in like the human body and health?
That's hilarious.
When like somebody dies who's like 115, or no, they'll interview somebody, they'll be like, you're the oldest living person. What's your secret? And they're like, I smoke cigarettes and I drink whiskey. Or whatever.
I just drink a lot of Coca-Cola, man. I don't know.
Yeah, literally, it's like they don't do any of the stuff that like is supposed to be healthy, but it's like there's so much randomness in.
But they also have like like carapace. Like they're built like a locust.
Yeah. It's
like, I've lived like this my whole life and I couldn't feel better.
Yeah. I actually haven't moved from this position for like 30 years.
Yeah, but I'm having a good time. Never go to bed angry. That's my other piece of advice.
Yeah, Laura had an older relative who only drank Pepsi. And when I say like only drank Pepsi, I mean like no water. Like she would bring Pepsi to any function and it would always be a can with a straw in it. And
one can?
I think she had more in the car, but
it's nice warm Pepsi.
I do get it to some degree because as a child, I had very little supervision, and I ate like garbage. I was like eating junk food, fast food, like soda, like all the time. Mm. And when I would crave it as an adult, or when I crave it as an adult, I do not feel bad when I have it. Mm. I feel, if anything, I feel good
because it reminds you of childhood.
Or like my body's got some, my gut, like my gut biome is like a fucking nuclear waste dump.
Oh, I'm used to this shit. We know how to process this.
Yeah.
No, I was kind of the opposite. My mom was like super health conscious growing up, so we never had like soda in the house.
Yeah.
All of our cereal was like flax buckwheat cereal. Yeah.
Exactly the same. No soda, no treats, weird cereal.
Yeah.
I'll probably be closer to that.
Yeah.
Like with my kids. Mm. Because I think that while it's nice to be nostalgic, it's like I don't love that it feels good to put so much trash into my body.
I'm gonna give your kids menthol cigarettes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I think it's definitely important to just like instill like healthy habits.
Habits. Yeah.
Yeah. Because
I don't want to police like what they're eating, but I do think that like understanding the like understanding that like everything in moderation and like
yeah.
your fuel, it's like food as fuel. Like it's something that I feel like I had to learn so much later in life. It's like, mm-hmm. oh, eating a donut isn't really going to do as much for me as like yeah. eating like, I don't know.
You want a treat to be a treat.
Yeah. Chicken, yeah. Yeah. Food is fuel, but also sometimes food is treat.
Oh, I would say food yeah. is often treat for
me. Always want to learn food is treat.
Yeah.
It's important to teach a good treat. Food is treat.
Yeah.
Food is definitely treat food and is fuel. Treat. It's kind food. Of amazing food.
Pizza
food
is mood and donut is bae.
Yeah. Bacon food is treat. Bacon wins the internet today.
try dude. Again next time, everybody else. Yeah.
Donuts for the win.
I keep having questions and then forgetting them.
What do you guys do for fun?
Uh-oh. Ooh, I've been playing video games recently. I've been playing the Zelda games. Mm-hmm. So I just finished Ocarina of Time. Or I finished Tears of the Kingdom, which was like, you know, it's a big game right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I couldn't get enough, so I went back to Ocarina of Time because that was a game I played a lot as a kid. And then I loved that, and it was great.
You tempted to play Breath of the Wild again, or was it too big a step no. backwards from...
No, Disney? I can't play Breath of the Wild again. Yeah. It's so long, and I wouldn't say it's a step back, but in that engine, I love like what Tears of the Kingdom gives you in terms of expressiveness and like how you can like solve problems very creatively. So going back to Breath of the Wild feels strangely more linear.
Sure. It's like yeah. taking songs off an album.
It's like, yeah. It does feel like taking songs off an album. Yeah.
How long does it like take to beat like Tears of the Kingdom? Like do everything that you would want to do. I feel like I've heard that it's like so expansive.
It's really long. I feel like you could easily spend like 150 hours in that game and like get a lot out of it. I think for me, I played like my Switch says I played for over 100 hours, but I don't think I did.
Dang.
I don't think I did. I think I played like 60, 70, maybe more, but I don't know. And then like Ocarina of Time is like 25 hours to beat, mm-hmm. like, and just do everything. And then like Breath of the Wild is like 50 hours, people say.
Yeah.
I don't know. But a lot of those games, like, you're mostly just, I think there's like different ways to play. Like one where you're just exploring and another where you're like kind of on a mission to like really like get through stuff. How has your gaming experience been? Because I think it's been interesting to see like, you know, you streaming games mm-hmm. and then you know, playing Minecraft or playing like GTA on
doing
stream.
A spectacular
I saw that.
Job at learning to speedrun Minecraft.
yeah, thank you, man.
You're kind of like one of the new up and coming speedrunners.
What's your PR right now? What's your time?
My PR is I got to the Nether and I got enough Ender Pearls.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah, and I died.
Oh,
okay. Yeah.
Okay.
And
then you went,
do you ever
then
do
you
like
persevered?
Save states or anything like that to like keep the run going?
No. I mean I've tried going in like creative mode a few times or like keeping like doing like keep inventory on. You can do like a cheat that does that.
For sure.
So
to literally just see what it feels like
to finish
the game.
Right. Because I think of it as
which
like
you have not done.
I have done every step individually multiple times, but it's so hard like
oh, for context, Danny has done a few streams and just privately like learning to speedrun Minecraft.
Yeah, I was gonna do it for a video, and I'm no longer sure if I am because it's been so hard, and I don't know if I want to keep dedicating the time to it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like really bad at games, so I don't know if we talked about this before, but like I've always like played them. Mm. Like me and my brother would play a lot growing up, and my brother got like so good at video games, like weird levels of good at video games. Like he could do like he got really into Guitar Hero and could do Through the Fire and Flames like without looking at the TV.
Yeah.
And I couldn't get past
that's
like medium mode on Guitar Hero. We would play Halo and I would always do the worst out of all my friends. Yeah. I think I get flustered and I don't know, maybe I'm too impulsive or something, but I'm not good at video games. I've never been good at it.
I think that's like it feels, especially these days, there's definitely like two types of gaming experiences, and one is games with very clear fail states, like objective failure.
Like you died, yeah.
Which is so
defeating.
Or like where you lose and it's a reflection of your skill, not just kind of loosely you know, losing by luck can be frustrating, but like at least it's kind of like a leisurely experience. And I think a lot of more appealing broad successful games do that, whereas in the case of other successful games that are more niche in their experience, I think that's the stuff that turns some people off.
Yeah,
because imagine if you had to put hours of literacy and learning into watching a movie.
like right. learning to sit down
yeah.
and learning to see the movie.
Yeah.
I do sympathize with people that like, I love games. I've always loved games.
Yeah.
But I have tried getting dozens of people into games, and until a couple of releases, like Spider-Man PS4 was really good for introducing friends.
I played that whole game, but that's the last game that I played like all the way through. And I kind of like can't really even get into the story of most games because I'm like not, I just like don't feel proficient enough to
right. That's
like,
really interesting.
Like not focus on trying to not die.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. You know what's funny that you mentioned getting flustered, because I feel like you, at least from a temperament standpoint, seem like a very unflappable person. You seem very like nothing really phases you.
Yeah.
Do people not tell you that?
No, I know that. Yeah. Oh, okay. No, I do. I don't know what it is, but I feel like if you watched me play Minecraft, you would like the second I see an enemy, I start screaming and I'm like, I don't know if I should fight it or run away. And so I kind of try to do both at the same time and I can do neither well. So I think I have bad hand-eye coordination too.
Mm.
And maybe that's what causes me to be flustered.
Mm.
Yeah.
How about outside of games? Like, is there anything that like particularly is frustrating for you?
I get frustrated about weird stuff. Laura says that the only time she's ever really seen me like angry was when we moved into our last house. We mounted the TV on the wall, and then I was trying to run cables through the wall so that our like consoles can be in the TV stand.
Yeah.
And just trying to like the kit that we got came with like a stick that you try to get to come out the hole on the bottom.
I've seen the stick.
I was at it for like 2 hours. I think it's easier on some walls that don't have insulation, but it was an exterior wall, so I had to push through the insulation, and I just could not get that fucking stick to come out the hole on the bottom for like an hour, and I was just like, I was irate.
Dude, I mean, that would piss me off.
What is that about? I agree. There's like DIY, especially some more elaborate setups, is such a complicated thing that it's people's jobs. Like, they spend their whole lives crafting it, and yet when I try doing it, and I can't, I get angry.
Yeah.
Like, if I just, like, sat down at a concert piano, I'm like, I don't fucking know how to do this. Ah, it's not fair.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's like, yeah, I don't, yeah.
You should
it's funny
be better.
To be so pissed about something I've never tried to do before.
Oh,
I've been like, I don't have any reason I should be
going to the
do.
Slopes for the first time, falling off the, or, like, falling over while trying to be on your skis. I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah.
That's Why are these hard?
That's a big thing for me, actually. Like, growing up, I would like always expect to be really good at everything I tried.
Mm-hmm.
And if I wasn't, then it like made me mad. Because I would get very like self-mad. I would get very internally
down on yourself.
Down on myself, yeah. And I think that funneled into a lot of my like competitiveness as a kid.
Mm.
And it would make me better at things because I really hated being bad at them.
Yeah.
Or I would like get good at things in private.
Mm.
Trying to think like learning the dances to High School Musical. Well, I was doing that for a video that I was going to do in high school, and we ended up putting like one video out, but like I had learned a bunch of choreography to like teach people.
I think you mentioned before that you know like the We're All in This Together dance for sure.
Work
which I knew at one time too, because I think they like they did like a lesson
a
on how
along.
To do it during one of the premieres.
They had a whole special, like I have a DVD where it's like the dance along where they teach you to do all the dances on the songs.
Okay.
But yeah, like that was like, oh, I can't be bad at this in front of someone. I have to privately get very good at it and then kind of show up nonchalantly and be like, oh, is it like this? And then I just know it.
Yeah.
And so I feel like that with like games and stuff.
It's funny. That's the exact opposite of how I always was as a kid. It's like, I'm not immediately good at it. I don't, it's bad. I have no interest in getting. Actually, no. It's objectively bad, and if you like it, you're stupid.
Yeah.
Do you ever do that introvertive thing where you do that, but with like social situations where you like try to plan out what's the conversation going to be about before you get there, and like what am I going to say?
I do that like with dates and stuff when I get really nervous about a date.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, what do I know about this person? What if I talk about this topic and then I don't? It's like it never actually pans out that way.
Yeah.
But it's like my anxiety trying to go, oh, like here's a backup plan or something like that.
Yeah. You guys seem very like extrovert, or at least more like outgoing than me, I think. So maybe
I think it's a performance.
Hmm.
I think it's in spite of
the way we naturally react.
Oh, okay. Because I think that's impressive.
It's enjoyable. Yeah. It's not that I dislike it, but I would say, especially as a kid, it was very insular.
Yeah.
I'm not super subscribed to the I feel like a lot of that stuff is kind of over medicalized, where it's like, yeah, I gain energy or I lose energy.
That's not really what I mean. I'm just kind of like, are you guys shy?
Yeah, I know what I mean. As a kid, I was very much just like I always felt on the back foot a little bit with a lot of conversations. And
I agree,
That sometimes, at least for me, it incentivized me to kind of be a little bit of the clown. And in retrospect, I didn't like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now I feel like I get to be more sincere generally and a little lower tempo. But I always admired kids at the time that would just be sociable.
Kind of like vulnerable and like personable.
Fucking relaxed. Yeah. Low, you know, cool. Mm-hmm. Nice to be around, but ultimately
not trying to hide behind bits all the time.
Yeah. Theory, someone like that, some bullshit. Not having to create a production of some sort to monetize their ability to communicate with others.
That seems super specific.
I gotta go.
You know what's funny is I think of myself as a shy person, but I have all these like little tricks.
Ooh.
Like in events like VidCon and things like where there's kind of a, what's the word? Schema, I guess, is the psychology word. But like there's a recipe for like things you can talk about and things you can do.
Yes.
I feel like I can stick to that very well. And then I can be polite and accommodating and like help people out. And I try to put myself to use to give myself something to do, to give myself something to talk to somebody about. You know, because I'm really, really bad with just like a blank slate.
Yeah.
If I don't.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like I've gotten a little better at it at stuff like this.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then like, if
that's
people
just
like
exposure of doing it,
I guess so. Yeah. And thinking a lot about it, like next, like after a conversation, I could be like, "How could that have gone better? I probably should have asked them more questions about themselves. I probably should have, I don't know."
when I was a kid, I used to like not speak to adults.
Oh, really?
Like I would talk to my friends, and then would be like, I'd be at Russell's house, and his parents would ask me a question, and I'd go. And then I'd whisper to Russell something to say.
Really?
And he would say it for me.
Are you like too nervous to talk to
him? I think I'm just too shy for people I'm not comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm like, I don't know. Even now, like there's a certain part of me, like the same friend is like one of my childhood friends. And like his family came to Creator Clash to like support me and stuff. And I like hung out with them. And there's all these times where they're like, it's so funny how you used to not talk to us. Like, because like they knew it's like you were such a quiet kid. And now you have like this career where you're like always like gregarious and talking to people. I'm like, yeah, but it's like an act. Not like I'm being fake, but like it's how I wish I could be. But I just learned strategies to like get closer to that.
Some goal. Until you make it, man.
Yeah, but ultimately it's like really draining.
You mean you can. I liked studying music theory, but I'm not a savant. Like Jacob Collier just understood it.
Yeah.
His brain just was able to get to it. Plus for work, I had to get comfortable with it, I guess, for partnership stuff.
Speaking of the video game stuff, my brother is also really musically talented and has perfect pitch and stuff.
Oh. Do you have anything?
Huh?
Do you have like anything?
Do I have anything?
Is he older or younger?
Gosh, he's 2 years older than me.
Oof, rough.
Yeah.
What's he do?
He's a server at a restaurant in Austin.
So he's not like a YouTuber?
No, I guess I've got that.
Because he'd be better at it.
I'd be better at making YouTube videos than him, but only because he's never tried. And I'm really hoping he doesn't.
It seems like he would be better.
Yeah, he might be better
under the same circumstances.
Yeah.
Is he your only sibling?
No, I have a younger sister too.
I see. You a family guy?
I'm a family man, because I have a brother and a sister.
You also have like a dog.
Such a stretching.
No, we can cut that out.
Wait.
It looked extremely embarrassing, but we'll cut it out.
Remember when you were talking about like being natural and like getting better at conversations and stuff? Mm-hmm. That was weird.
I thought the chair went farther this way, and I was like gonna like put my arm here, but I was already sitting on like the edge of it this way, so I just went like this. Yeah, but you guys didn't notice.
No, we didn't.
No, nobody did.
I was just thinking, like, I think the other thing with like my friend's parents is like, if I'm comfortable with somebody, then I'm like cool talking to them and I can relax around them.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we're all staying together here and it's so different, the vibe. Like, I feel like I can relax around people here, whereas if I'm like at VidCon on the floor, I'm always like, is somebody going to walk up to me? I'm not going to be ready to like have a conversation. So many people who I don't remember that remember me or have worked with me.
Yeah.
Or even if somebody like somebody will say, oh, hey, Jarvis. And then I'll go, oh, no, I don't recognize this face. I don't know where I know this person from. I probably look like a deer in headlights. And then they'll be like, I work on the behind the scenes of this thing we've never met before. Oh, and I'm okay, like, oh,
yeah,
okay, cool. Like, because they didn't
I booked you for the panel, but we have never
communicated. But my brain is going, is it from this person? Is it from this person? There's a few people who I've run into who I just cannot for the life of me remember like what I know them from.
Yeah.
And then sometimes they'll be like, do you know who that is? And it'll be like, not a clue. It's like, it's like we're all kind of faking it, basically.
I keep doing the thing where like I there are people like other YouTubers and stuff that I've seen so much on YouTube and I forget if I've met them in real life. So when I like go up to talk to them, I'm like, have we met before? Or do I just, am I just having like a parasocial relationship with you?
I am under no circumstances willing to introduce or like meet somebody and be like, I know you from Twitter. Like, oh, we're mutuals. I would rather die. I just can't do it. I met Jasmine Rice Girl in person for the first time yesterday. We had a decent conversation. I wasn't 100% sure it was her.
Oh, yeah.
And then went away later and she DM'd was like, oh,
that was you.
We have mutuals. Right. Okay, then. Because what is that relationship? Do you know what I mean?
I don't know.
Do you have like a particular insecurity about when social stuff is different? My fear is always that I was annoying. And I think that's because I was an annoying kid. And I can be an annoying adult if I'm not too conscious of it. But I'm... Is there like a thing when you walk away from a conversation that maybe you're worried didn't go quite the way you wanted it to?
I'm
so ugly. Ah.
Yeah. No, I think that generally my thing is just like I think that it was either like underwhelming for them or then just that they were pretending to be nice to me and they actually don't like me.
I get that a lot.
Do people ever wonder if any of you guys don't like them? Do you know what I mean? I've gotten that sometimes. Like, I don't know if Jordan likes me.
Yeah, no, I do get that a lot because I am like very dry a lot. Like I'm kind of like monotone sometimes or just like not very expressive with my face sometimes. So I'll get that like they're like people will be like, I never know what you're like feeling. And so I can't tell if you're mad at me or if you're just like, but I'm not going to start pretending to have stuff. I, you know, I'm just going to keep doing what I do.
Man. Pretend I have feelings.
That's everyone else's problem. They can
I get mad when I do DIY and nothing else. I love everyone except that. How about you? People think that you don't like him?
Oh, about him?
No, but you. Oh.
Yeah,
oh,
is there anything else you don't like about
him? No. Hey, we like him just fine.
Okay. I mean, yeah, I get... There's so many things I don't like about myself, but I think,
roll a scroll.
Yeah, I think the one big insecurity is talking too much. Like,
yes,
like it definitely comes with ADHD, where you have like a thought at the tip of your tongue that you want to get it out, or else you're gonna lose it.
That's the annoying fear, but
yeah. So there's that. That's something, and then. Definitely have the feeling of like meeting people and we go, oh, they're just pretending to like me. Do they actually like me? Are they actually my friend? And I think it'll result in me having interactions where I was like friends all along with somebody, but in my head canon, they didn't like me. And then they like said something nice like, hey, friend. And I was like, whoa,
you're wrong.
I can't deny that they just acknowledge me as a friend. So that we must be friends. That's cool. Yeah.
It's like an anime or it's like thought. Really nice of them to keep lying and like go see deep into this lie.
You
say thank you. Thank you so much for pretending.
No, sometimes it feels like I'm kind of like a make a wish or something. And that like everyone is kind of just like, yo, like well, we Truman should invite you. We should bring Danny. And you know, he doesn't have much time left.
Before you become Dan.
Yeah.
Danny's on
before
the way.
Before he becomes Dan, yeah. There's only so much Danny left in this world.
Yeah. We have to. We're to depleting Dan's. Our natural Danny resources.
Are you going to raise
having children?
Would you be willing to raise your child to call you papa? That'd be cool.
Well, I don't know. I don't know.
Come on, please.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, Papa, I've watched your latest video.
I do think that my dad might have some kind of strange request like that instead of Grandpa. I think he might want to be like chief or something like that.
Big dog.
Yeah.
Boss.
Big dog.
John Wick.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Call me John Wick.
I think he did say. I don't. No, I'm not gonna say that.
It was his address.
Yeah, I think he lives at.
Yeah, don't do that one.
Okay, so I feel like we talked about a little bit of everything.
Yeah,
in this episode of Sabboys.
I am done.
We really ran the gambit. I'm excited to see what we talk about in the bonus episode.
In the bonus episode, nice. Coming to you right after this one on Patreon.com/Sabboys is Sabboys Nights, the Patreon exclusive bonus podcast.
We lie back podcast. In the chair. You start, man. Stop doing it. Hey. No, come
no,
on.
No, stop that thing.
No.
It
no, you loses don't have to
do
views.
That. No.
The views start going down somehow.
Yeah.
What?
I start going down?
Yeah, because of your bad face. You do a good Joker, though. That was quite impressive.
Andy does do good faces.
Yeah.
And you'll see more of those on Sabboys Nights on Patreon. But this is the end of this episode of Sabboys. Danny, thank you.
Bye.
Okay. Yeah, I guess that's you can. We end every episode of Sad Boys with a particular phrase. But real quick, I have to say this is the first episode we've done in person ever. Mm. But then also we had the last episode we did was like almost 3 years ago.
Yeah, it was on Twitch, right?
Crazy.
Or like we streamed it. Yeah,
deep COVID.
Deep COVID times. Yeah, that was wild. We just did one with Drew too, and we were just like, wow, it was so. Long ago, it was like we were different people back then.
Yeah,
he didn't have blonde hair. You had less of a baby.
Yeah, I have less of a baby. I still don't have a whole one, but I did have less
yeah,
for
you
sure.
Guys
back
are working
then.
On it. Yeah, yeah, for sure. But anyway, maybe we'll talk about that. we end every episode of Sad Boys with a particular phrase.
We love you,
and we're sorry.
Boom.
Took a bunch of photos of people in the office, and then I like started fusing their faces together.
Ooh.
And so I have a photo of us that's
really good.
That is like
Jarvis
both
Jordan.
Of us, yeah, together. People would already mix us up, which was kind of crazy.
That's crazy. I've never heard of something like that happening, where like you get mixed up with someone who's like, you know, looks a little similar and makes similar jokes and stuff. Gucci girl, Gucci girl, how you doing? How you moving, girl? Moving girl, how's your day looking? That future girl, future girl, yeah, we all now. Take my money, go away, all you want it. Girl, too rich for me.